You're listening to a podcast from 702.
At the Daily Maverick, Rebecca Davis, always a pleasure to talk to you and thank you for your time.
Pleasure, Bongani.
I mean, you've heard me outline the situation which you've written so well about in the Daily Maverick. We've got, this all boiled down to special circumstances, right? The Guptas argued they'd invested billions into South Africa. They made charitable donations. And now we know there was no proof provided. And the man who could have given all of that, as I've just described, doesn't appear to have been willing to come forward.
That's right. Achitela has shown the most extraordinary reluctance to come to Parliament and account for his role in the early naturalization, and that role was significant. I mean, it's clear now that he was the man who authored the letter to Home Affairs outlining the exceptional circumstances, and he's the one who's refused. And one of the aspects, Bongani, that you missed from your summary there was also his refusal to testify unless Parliament provided a Hindi translator, which, as the chair of the Committee for Manitoka pointed out, was quite something, given that, Achitela has had South African citizenship for 17 years, had written a fluent letter in English outlining these exceptional circumstances, and now claimed to be unable to testify unless a Hindi translator was brought in. So just another example of how difficult
All right. So, I mean, it's one thing to try and push the envelope and get away with what you can. Let's go back and look at the role of Malusi Gigaba. What did he know? I mean, could he make the argument that he was duped?
That is pretty much the argument he made. He said that he was provided with these exceptional circumstances, including the fact that the Guptas had allegedly had 25 billion rand in investments in South Africa, all the charitable outreach they had allegedly done with schools in the Northwest, the provision of food, KFC, and the like, that he depended on other entities, not just in Home Affairs, but also, for instance, SARS, to verify these documents. The fact that they had not done so was not something he could have been expected to be aware of, and it was on the basis of those claims that he gave his signature to the exceptional circumstances application.
I mean, wink, wink, pull the other one. Sorry to come in there, Rebecca. Wink, wink, pull the other one. I mean, part of the reason these processes normally take months, if not years, to conclude for ordinary citizens is that whatever documentation must be submitted has to be vetted and verified.
It turned out that insufficient diligence, in Gigaba's words, was done in this particular case. And, you know, in fact, there was one admission that was made, is that processes were apparently not sufficient, and whether that was the case only in the Guptas' instance or more widely was very hard to know. But Gigaba certainly did not give an inch when it came to his personal responsibility, and I suppose that is why the Home Affairs Committee has ended up producing this report, which really stopped short of criticizing Gigaba directly at all, because there is no direct evidence to prove that Gigaba had any wrongdoing in the matter, and only says that future Home Affairs ministers must be sort of curtailed when it comes to their ability to give that exceptional circumstances provision to early naturalization.
I mean, it's 2 years later, that's it. All they can do is clip the wings of future ministers?
Pretty much. I mean, they have said that the responsible people from the Gupta side, which is to say the family members and Achitela himself, should potentially face criminal charges in terms of providing false information to Home Affairs. But in terms of what is to be done on the side of government, you know, there's no suggestion that particular Home Affairs officials should face criminal penalties. As I said, there's no penalties suggested for Gigaba himself. The only suggestion is that this matter potentially be referred to the Zondo Commission, which you can see is really kind of kicking for touch in terms of we haven't been able to establish anything beyond the shadow of a doubt with regard to state capture. But here, maybe you guys at the Zondo Commission can take this forward and see if there's anything in it.
Yeah, the opposition members of this committee are saying basically it all boils down to who's got the numbers on the committee, and ANC members are protecting their own.
Which is a classic problem of parliamentary committees, right? That, you know, the way our parliament is set up does mean that the ruling party will always have a majority. They will always hold the chairship of these committees. And in this instance, the VA, for instance, has said, you know, we really pushed very vocally for greater sanctions against Minister Gaba. We were ignored. And, you know, our only hope now also lies with the Zondo Commission.
All right, we'll leave it there with Rebecca Davis, who's an author and writer at The Daily Maverick. So here's my 5 cents on this. I think it's fair to say that if you think the ANC as an organization has changed its stance on those who aided and abetted the Guptas, well, look no further than this. Listen, Malusi Gigaba is 23rd on the party's list to go to the National Assembly. How is it possible that even as we sit in the dark with a failing state carrier, right, and so many other problems with SOEs, including, of course, the fact that Gigaba lied to the courts. Now, this report says that basically he did nothing wrong. Gigaba is about to make a triumphant return to Parliament, possibly even cabinet. How?